What's going on, everybody? Thank you for spending your Thursday night with us. Hope y'all got to watch LSU. They just took game one against Alabama. No, not Alabama.
Oklahoma.
There we go. The other crimson and white team. Wow.
Good start.
May lose power. We have the Storm Chasers down here in Arkansas. And anyways, going back to baseball, because that's what we're all here for, they take the win 2-0. Cade Anderson. That's nasty stuff. Nick,
yeah, it was.
I know you watched the game.
Yeah, it was. I know it got, they said it on the broadcast, 41 scouts in attendance. Obviously, not all for Cade Anderson. There's like between Kyson Witherspoon, him, and there's possible, look at the LSU roster, Oklahoma roster, there's possible, I don't know, 20 draft picks between those two teams. So it makes sense. But he made a statement. Like, I know he's a projected first round guy, but like right now, I even texted my dad and I was like, yeah, the crazy thing is I think he's projected right now to be like the fourth or fifth left-handed pitcher taken off the board, which is crazy. But then you do look at the SEC this year and you look at the rest of college baseball, it's very lefty dominant. It really is just one of those weird things where it's like, yeah, like he dominated, made a statement. He's like, hey, maybe I'm the best lefty, not including Jamie Arnold. Liam Doyle's up there too. Joseph DeZero is up there. I'm sure I'm missing some. But yeah, it's a crazy year for lefties. He made an extremely big statement today against a talented Oklahoma team on the road.
Smitty?
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that. I caught a little bit of the North Carolina Duke game. So I watched about an inning out of that game. So it's 3-2 right now. So
Q is on assignment tonight. But he is out.
Q is out.
But no, it should be, yeah, just a great performance there and a good pitching matchup. I'll let you know here in a little bit what I predicted for the series there, and hopefully can get the crown. I think I'm the only one that I'm right there, but I haven't got the crown yet. So got to get after that. So
another game in action, Duke taking on North Carolina. North Carolina is currently up 4-2 in the bottom of the eighth. This was another one that, and Nick, I guess you kind of talked me out of it, just staying off of Duke. I know they've cost us a lot of money this year. They're not really living up to expectations. But on the flip side, they're still hitting the ball better than North Carolina. I get the Hills are at home, and that's a little tough place to play there in Chapel Hill. But, again, I think when Duke figures out their pitching rotation, they're going to be set up for the postseason. It's kind of just when is it going to happen? Because we've been waiting, but – you know, they're sitting at 20-10, looks like 20-11 after tonight. Still kind of in that mix of being an ACC team that can make noise. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on this series alone for North Carolina? Who needs this series more? Like, who are you buying into more to be a threat out of the ACC?
I think North Carolina needs it more. And I'll preface it like this. I think North Carolina still has a chance to host, even though they've struggled the last couple weekends. I think they haven't quite lived up to expectations, considering like how well they got to what, number three in the polls, I believe, and started off the season like red hot. And I think this was like one of those, like, holy crap, this team can win a national championship. They've kind of dropped down a bit recently. There have been some injuries. Yes, offense is kind of underperformed. There's been some weird things with Jason DeCaro getting moved back to Saturdays. So the pitching staff has kind of been off and on. Folger Boas is now just the bullpen arm for them. So some weird things are kind of going on. But I think it's more important for North Carolina because they still have that chance to host. I think Duke is out of the host unless Duke just goes bananas to in the regular season. I think they're out of the hosting picture. They will still be like with their RPI, the schedule they've played. They're playing well. So even like the panic button was pushed, like when they were, 5-9 or 5-10 to start the year. I think there was like a ton of panic of like, is this even a postseason team? They completely flipped that around. Like, so Duke will be like a low 2 seed, high 3 seed. So they're in, But I think North Carolina just needs this to actually stay in the hosting picture, especially at home.
You got any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, you know, this is a team I'm high on. I wrote it on in the guide. You know, pitching staff is very deep and very talented here. And like you guys said, Matt, in the chat earlier today, you know, Duke's been swinging a good bat. I think the last couple games, I think two games, I have down 28 runs. I know one was like the midweek game, but, you know, they came off really two good series. Is that they swept Virginia, then they took two from NC State. I think it's still a really good team there. North Carolina last week kind of didn't score a lot of runs. I mean, you said you're concerned with their bats. I think they only scored like 8 runs against Miami. And I mean, it seems like a lot of people can beat Miami. So like Nick said too, that's concerning in that. But I think it's a big spot because I think, again, North Carolina is a team that could win the national championship very easily too. I think, but they got to get the bats going here. I think they got the arms, but the bats better wake up and they better score a lot more runs. And only, again, 4 tonight. So, I mean, you could look at it and say, well, they're not really scoring a ton.
Well, I stayed off of it. I did want to bet Duke. The plus 1.5 run line, I had to stay off that too. I think if I could have gotten 2.5, which now it's easy to say as they're probably going to lose 4-2, I would have taken it. But that line, I just felt like North Carolina was getting way too much. Kind of like LSU, which if you're a clubhouse member, congratulations. I gave out plus 2.5. On OU, I think Nick may have too.
Yep, I did as well, yeah.
Really, no doubter, in my opinion. The only thing that worried me was that, okay, Oklahoma's going to tie it up and go into extra innings and I could lose. But you know, heading into the bottom of the eighth, I was feeling good about where we were at. Tomorrow night's game, we've got Andrew Healy versus Jason DeCara to kind of put a bow on this series before we move on. Projections still think North Carolina minus 233, average run margin of about 3 runs here. So do we see more of what we saw tonight, kind of a knockdown drag out? The pitchers aren't as good. You look at their ex-FIP Sierra, not great, but again, North Carolina can't swing. So if it comes into being a shootout type game, kind of want to lean Duke again. I think they get one. It's just a matter of how many times can you keep going back to the well before it runs dry? And Duke doesn't have much left in and of itself. But do you back Duke at all this weekend? Sunday, you've got Aiden. Is it Hawk?
Yeah, Hawk. Yep.
Versus TBA. TBA, a lot of playing time.
I think it'll end up being Kyle Johnson. I think they're going to end up going back to him in the rotation. Just ever since they've removed Duke Remotion from Fridays, they've been better. But I still think they need that talented arm to end up going on Sundays. But the weird thing for me with this one, so Jason DeCaro's the most talented arm like in this entire series for either team. It's just he hasn't performed like we're not getting the same guy we had last year. So it's been very odd. It's like I still anticipate him to show up at some point and be the best arm. Bad thing about this one is I think the line, I think what we will see, at least from like what I'm projecting, I assume we get like Carolina's going to be like minus 175 tomorrow, which for me, ends up being unplayable. I think we've kind of discussed this long enough now where it's like me personally, I don't trust either of these teams, and I refuse to bet Duke because they've cost me so much money at the beginning of this year. So, and I'm not going to put UNC in a parlay when it is such a toss up to me and anything can happen. So this is going to be a complete stay off, but I'll be watching it because it is such an important game for the ACC and NCAA tournament moving forward.
Toddy, you want any part of the Blue Devils?
You know, I'm going to dive in after the show. I've been a pretty busy night here, so I haven't really with the lines, man. I'm shocked the lines are out already. I mean, God bless America with this tonight.
We got 5.
So well, still 5. I'll take 5, okay? Let's get them going. Hey, it's my saying, Nick. They're not showing off, but they're not falling far behind. They're a little better this tonight. So
they did it just to piss people off.
Probably. No, the only thing I would do here is I think North Carolina is a better team, and I would do a money line parlay. But again, this is, you know, this is a rivalry. I mean, right down the street from each other. So this, if there's something better on the board, this is, like Nick said, I think you sit back and you enjoy and you watch it and stuff. You know, I think the only way you play this is I would lean North Carolina money line parlay with somebody, but I don't know if I'll play it.
All right. Duke can save their winning for Saturday when they play basketball. Hopefully.
Right. Hopefully not. I need Houston.
Yeah. I already took them plus 5.5. So let's go.
That boy Smitty.
So, okay. Game two, LSU, Oklahoma, obviously now LSU in the driver's seat to win this series. Anthony Ionson versus Cade Crossland. Again, it's going to be a lot of, I feel like, what we saw tonight. LSU's the better hitting team. They're probably going to come up with clutch hits. Pitching staff has really just pitched at a really elite level. Do you go Oklahoma at all? Can they win a game in this series now? Without, I feel like they have anchored it every series with trying to get that Kyson Witherspoon win. And now they didn't.
Yes.
You've got Ionson and then you've got Chase Shores.
Yeah, but Chase Shores has not been great. Like, he's talented, but like his numbers say otherwise. I mean, you can probably pull this up, like what it ends up looking like on Saturday. Oklahoma has to steal one. Like, and I mean, wouldn't even call it stealing. These two teams are like very similar. I think LSU is a little bit more talented on the offensive side of the ball, but I think pitching wise, I think Oklahoma has maybe a slight edge, especially once you add like the bullpen into it. I think Oklahoma does get one. Now, do I know which one? No. But if this somehow gets put at like a plus 200 or something like one of these 2 days because of Ionson and because of Chase Shores, then yeah, I would much rather put my money like on the Oklahoma side than LSU, because I really do think Oklahoma gets one.
Joseph, yes, Kentucky Ole Miss will begin tomorrow in a doubleheader. Unfortunate, because that was the other play I gave out, was Ole Miss minus 140. Just for home field, if you put this on a neutral side, LSU, really not that big of a home field advantage for Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's so I actually was surprised to see that. So Oklahoma, just because it's big, was Big 12, it's the second smallest stadium in the SEC now.
Yeah.
Behind only Mizzou, which is kind of crazy to think about. And it wouldn't even fold tonight, which kind of pissed me off. It's like, Oklahoma, learn where you're at now. Like, this needs to be full.
Is like, Malachi going to go? Crazy. I know it's TBA right now.
There's like some lingering issue, like injury issue. So that's why it was still TBA. That's why it was still TBA, was what I read. So I'm sure we won't hear anything until probably an hour before game time.
I mean, either way, Chase Shores, I'm not sure who.
That's why I said
who else would be pitch. Like a plus. I don't
like
think
a plus 200, or if we get because these are okay. So I did look at the weather like for the next couple of days as well. It's supposed to stay cold, and the wind is supposed to keep blowing in. So if like if they will keep handing me like if they hand us like 3.5s, or like maybe like Sunday a 4.5 with the TBA and Chase Shores, then I would rather play it that way than anything else in this series, because they should all be low scoring. Like, I don't trust either of these offenses to just go nuts.
Toddy, you're kind of the weatherman.
Yeah,
Southwest is getting hit.
In Northern Virginia, maybe tracking some of the tornadoes too. I have not really dove into what's happening out in Oklahoma with for the baseball game. No, I kind of agree. I think Oklahoma gets one.
I still think they will. Joseph, I agree. As long as it's Hunter Elliott versus probably Nick McKay, which is kind of odd because Kentucky did TBA for game one, and then they're starting Scott Rouse in game two, Ben Cleaver in game three. You kind of do reverse math there and figure out it's probably McKay unless he's hurt.
Yeah, unless there's something we haven't
And at
heard
that
about.
Point, McKay's their best arm, in my opinion. So why not back Hunter Elliott, who's been really good?
Which that's uh That starts, what, three? That's a
three game one. Yeah, I think a 3-7, I believe, is what I saw.
Yeah, both games, I believe, nine innings.
Mm. Yeah, SEC, they have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this next one, it kind of surprised me because I thought the projections would be a little closer. Wake Forest plus 230, Jamie Arnold and Luke Schmolke. Not Logan Lunsford game one, kind of pitching off, which I feel like Florida State was doing that with Vellini there. He was the ace and then, or quote unquote, Friday night starter. And then Jamie Arnold on Saturdays. Both these guys have a low Sierra hitting. They're both comparable, 155, 152, 12th and 14th in the country. Florida State at home, but look at their strength of schedule, 114th, Wake 49th. What is the line right now?
200. Was last I saw, yeah.
I don't see how you don't put some money on Wake Forest here.
Well, let me ask you, did you see that it's – have they said Jamie Arnold? I didn't see anything because I assumed it was still Vellini.
No, it's Jamie Arnold.
It is? Okay, so they flipped him back again?
Yep.
Okay.
It'll be Arnold, Vellini, Mendez.
Okay. Yeah, because Vellini has been the best arm in the ACC, like, which is like actually crazy, considering how bad he was. Like,
when an embarrassment of riches for – I mean, all of them. Look, their starting pitchers have 3.07 ERA, 1.25 for Vellini, 2.83 for Mendez.
Yes. I mean, you did mention the strength of schedule, so that might have – like, let's kind of see a bit, because we saw, like, what they – like, what was – I believe Vellini, when he transferred, it was like a 6.95 ERA. Or something like that, right? Like, was he USF, right? Unless I missed the, was he Vellini was the USF guy, or was that Mendez? Somewhere, I can't remember. Yeah, but yeah, like when he transferred in, like Vellini was like, what the heck? And now has been their best. He's been better than Jamie Arnold this year, which is crazy. I don't know. This is one, I've been kind of iffy on Wake all year, and kind of been very hesitant to take him. Getting swept at home by Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech is obviously better than I think we all thought, but that's still, you can't get swept at home in an ACC series. I think that says a lot. I think Florida State's just a flat out better team, especially at home, especially 200. I think this is like maybe my favorite parlay piece just because it is only 200. Like there's going to be so many options to kind of pair them up with. I haven't played it yet. But, like, if you put Tennessee and Florida State together, it's minus 105. So, right around that one-unit play, which is obviously, like, what we all kind of try to get to, I really do like this, especially with Jamie Arnold. And, like we said, Logan Lunsford's been their guy, and now he's not going on Fridays. So, I'd rather not back anyone else but Logan Lunsford right now with Wake.
Florida State loses game two to Miami. With Jamie Arnold.
With Jamie Arnold.
1,050 favorite.
Weirdest. Like, geez. Yes.
Toddy.
Nick said it. What I wrote down, you can't lose. I mean, again, Virginia Tech, I'm not saying they're a bad team, but to get swept and to get – they gave up a ton of runs.
Yeah.
I mean, Virginia Tech scored a lot. I think it was like – It was 30 runs or something in that series.
It was 18-2, I think, game one. It was game one or game two.
I think I have down about 30 runs against. And, you know, here's the thing with Florida State. They're 7-3 last 10, 17-2 at home. Wake's only 4-4 on the road. Now, they did lose. They took what? I think they took 2 out of 3 against Notre Dame. They lost last Friday against Notre Dame, I believe. Mm-hmm. And in the midweek game, too, they got down. Jacksonville jumped, I think it was 5-0 really quick in that game. And that was a tight game, too. I think they won by one.
Or 10-8, yeah, I think.
Yeah, they got down quick in that. So, no, I think with Arnold on here, yeah, I kind of agree. I kind of think this is a tough spot for Wake again. I mean, it's a team that really needs to be motivated after last weekend But like you said, they're switching the pitching staff around this week. So I think with Arnold on the mound, I think this, like Nick said, I think it's a good piece to maybe match him up with another team and do a money line parlay.
Also, well, the baseball side of me tells me something too. Like Link Jarrett is such a good coach. There's a reason. There's something up if like how good Joey Vellini's been on Fridays and the fact that Jamie Arnold struggled last Saturday. And there's a confidence to flip-flop those two. I think there's something, whether it's like they saw something in his most recent bullpen, or it's like, hey, like Jamie Arnold hasn't been fully healthy, and now he is, so he's back to our Friday guy. Like, I just think there's something up within that, like the baseball part of me and like the non-analytical side, like tells me there's a reason why they flip-flop these two back.
Maybe that was the plan all along to do it. And then when Wake threw off Logan Lunsford, they thought, well, okay, if they're going to do that, we'll switch
Let's
it up.
Let's do Vellini versus Lunsford. Yeah. That's possible too. Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Matt, real quick. Hey, 4-3 final, UNC. Yep.
At Duke plus 1.5 would have cashed.
You said money line. I told you.
Yeah. I would have bet money line. I didn't like the 1.5. Demon Deacons have taken the series the last two times on the road against Florida State, for what it's worth. But Florida State dominates. Well, those
top five pitching.
97 and 38. They own the series.
Sorry, Chase Burns isn't walking back through those doors. Neither is Rhett Lauder. Sorry.
All right, next up, we've got Georgia, Texas. Georgia is throwing Goldstein, and Texas is throwing Jared Spencer. What are your thoughts on this one? Preview into the SEC pick'em. Before I show you the projection, you got to go Longhorns, right?
Yeah. Yep. Favorite. This also favorite series of the weekend. For sure.
Red hot one, bats.
Red hot both on both sides. Yeah. Well, it's like. This is my absolutely favorite series of the weekend. Depending on what you see, Irvine, Oregon State might be the most, which is gonna might sound crazy to people. Like if you only watch like the SEC or ACC, like you see Irvine, Oregon State's probably the most important one, which we're gonna talk about here in a bit. But this is my favorite one to watch because there's so many possible outcomes. Like this could literally be Georgia sweeps, or this could be Texas sweeps. Like there's like this could go so many different directions in so many different ways. Now, my favorite bet, like the pitching difference between Jared Spencer and Charlie Goldstein is the biggest difference you're going to get all weekend between like this, at least between starting pitchers. So that's why I do love Texas. I don't think they're plus 114, I think, is what they still are on DraftKings. I'm going to end up taking it because I think Texas is going to take game one. I'm just saying that and I'm playing it. We also saw what they did against LSU. Texas beat LSU in a series, and we just saw what LSU did. So Georgia is like one of those, but like Georgia gets in those games where it's like you never know when they're going to go freaking nuts on offense. Bad thing is, we talked about the weather in Oklahoma. It's also chilly in Austin right now too, and the wind is not going to be favorable in the field. That stadium is big. That is not Georgia. That is not Florida where they play. That's not like it's. Georgia will not be able to rely on the three-run home run like they have been. I think this ends up lower scoring. Like, and when I say lower scoring, I mean probably like a 6-4-ish type of game because both teams can swing it. But, yeah, I'm still Texas here game one. And then we'll talk about the rest of the series when our pick-ems come up.
Smitty.
Yeah, I'm kind of right with them. I think I kind of like this Texas team. A very good pitching staff. I think they only gave up 9 runs last week. And now again, that was against 2 weeks ago or whatever against Missouri. I mean, again, that's Missouri and that's not a great team. And I mean, again, you kind of look at this series, you got the major bats against a pretty good pitching staff here. So what's going to give? And like Nick said about the stadium, he was talking about that today in the chat and everything like that. So now you had the cold weather on there too. I like it. I think I might be right with them on this game one. I think I'm on Texas. I think it's going to be a great series. You know, last week, Georgia, one, I think four, they swept Auburn 4-1. I mean, very low scoring for those two teams. Yeah. And then they exploded, had a big week, midweek game. Texas is coming off a 5-3 loss to Texas State midweek here. So let's get back in the win column. I think this is a good spot for Texas tomorrow.
Texas plus 114 at home. They actually lead the league in ERA in conference play, 329. Georgia is eighth with 585.
I'm actually surprised they're eighth, considering Kentucky weekend.
Yeah. Georgia doesn't really have a pitching staff.
It just puzzle pieces.
Who do you think is last in the SEC in ERA?
I'm going to say it's not Mizzou.
Would be the obvious one. And just Nick, just how he brought it up, you know it's not them.
It is not. I bet.
They are 15th.
Okay.
With a 10.78.
What? And they're not last?
They're not last.
Okay, so it's got to be – is it Mississippi State?
Nope. He's not even here to defend.
South Carolina.
No way, it's Florida.
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 Florida is dead last in team ERA in conference play.
That's crazy.
10.83.
When I think of their losses, like, they were close with Tennessee except for one game. They didn't get really blown out by – yeah. I guess the Georgia series probably – yeah, that's true. That Georgia series put a lot on them.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yikes.
Anyways – all right, I think we're all in unison here. Texas plus 114. I expect by the time I get off here and place the bet.
So you guys have been around this a while. So this is like my strategy. Well, just because we'll explain to the audience, I think this is a good time to do it. I'm a big proponent of bet favorites early and bet underdogs late.
Dogs late, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
which way, if you had to guess, do you think this will move? Because, like, it could go either, like, I'm almost afraid, like, with Texas being at home, they will end up around, like, this might close at, like, 115. But do you think with Georgia being, like, America's kind of offense right now, could it move the other way? And should it be, like, should we wait until tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon to bet it? I'm just asking opinions because I don't
know. I would bet it now. I think people are going to see what Texas is number 5. Georgia's 3.
Yeah. Georgia's 3. Florida State.
I mean, yeah. I feel like your recreational better may just look at, okay, I'm getting the number 5 team at home plus money. I feel like money's going to come in on Texas.
I agree. I think you need to jump on it.
Perfect.
All right. UC Irvine in Oregon State. And if you have not seen the Anteaters play, my gosh.
Georgia and Tennessee of the West Coast.
They are really good. And I know everybody's talking about Coastal Carolina, DBU, what team could be the
Troy. Yeah.
The team to get into Omaha as a mid-major. I think this Anteaters team is right up there with all of them. If not the best of all of them. I know 11.7, shout out to our boys. They put out the mid-major report, and they're number 1, and rightfully so.
Yes.
But tomorrow they take on a kind of a Power 5 team, I guess, if you can even call an independent that anymore. Oregon State, to me, it's kind of like Notre Dame in football now. Is that what they're going for? Do they just want to be the independent of baseball that's going to remain relevant? I don't know. But the Beavers, only minus 127 on the site. Riley Kelly, Nelson Keljo. Riley's better in virtually every stat except ERA. But XFIP, Sierra, walks, strikeouts. I'm going to go with the Anteaters in this one. Plus 110.
This is
Irvine is going to Look at the weighted runs created, 164 to 123.
Okay, but also if I put the two Rosses in front of you on offense, which one are you taking?
If what?
If you just put the offensive rosters in front of you, I know you're saying WRC plus, but if I put the two lineup in front of you, I know you're picking the Oregon State lineup. Because there's just like so much talent there. I don't know. I think this matters so much. This actually, which is a crazy thing, because I'm actually trying to pull it up right now. Because Oregon State right now, 23 in the RPI, and the rest of their schedule is not good. Predicted RPI for Oregon State, with them only losing seven more games the rest of the year. Dude, wait, did I miss him? I know this is great for our show. Like,
it's okay. Got nothing but time here.
Yeah. Oregon State with their schedule kind of needs this. Like, they dropped that week. They should not have lost, like the series or Nebraska last weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a painful one. And I think they know that. Because right now, like, with them being in the 20s in the RPI, and they have nobody on the board. There's no conference representing them. There's nobody on the committee that's going to be representing them. There's nobody, like, if they get left out of the hosting picture, that's going to be able to, like, fight for them except for themselves. I think they need this one bad. UC Irvine, like you said, dogs. Like, they're going to be – I honestly think they're going to be a host. Now, the committee will find a way to screw them. Like, it's probably going to be, like, UC Irvine 1, Oregon 2, and, like, they'll get, like, just – it'll be something, like, crazy where, like, Grand Canyon 3. So, it's, like, it's going to be rough for them. But I think UC Irvine has more on their plate in front of them. I think if this was neutral site or at UC Irvine, I'd be more likely to take UC Irvine. I just trust this Oregon State roster pedigree. Ava Arquette's the best player, like, on the field, no matter where he steps. And I don't think UC Irvine's faced anything like that, like, in the Big West. So I think this is Oregon State kind of all the way. I think UC Irvine could take one, but I don't see them winning the series personally.
Well, I don't think they beat Dax Whitney.
Dax Whitney's actually been the one struggling, which mm-hmm. is kind of the – and it's like sort of like –
you need a true freshman.
That true freshman, like, hump where it's like, yeah, like, he's going to struggle for a bit. But, yeah, it's – I don't know. I trust Oklahoma State – or not Oklahoma State, Oregon State here.
So, Smitty, I want your thoughts too, because you – I feel like you always have the heart of an underdog. Are you going with the Anteaters here?
No, I'm not. You know, you look at this.
That has annoyed Matt so much.
No, because here's the thing. You know, we talked about this last year. Q brought this up a lot last year on the show. I think Oregon State's a team that the home field's really key in this. You know, you look, they've won 15 in a row at home. I think, like, and I agree with you, Matt. I mean, this team can hit, like, last five games, 69 runs. Now, they played USC one game, Riverside and San Diego. Well, Riverside and San Diego they're not very good. I think San Diego has, like, six wins.
Yeah.
So, but they're like you said, they're a very good team, and they could really make a run here. But I think the home field is going to be very important in this series. Oregon State's just a different team at home. I agree with Nick. You know, I was really shocked last week. I'm sorry I ruined your spot.
Anteaters are 11-0 in their last 11.
Eleven win streak. Listen, I think it's a good spot tomorrow.
They need this. They need this game.
They do, but home field's going to be – I think home field's going to be key in this. I think the Beavers get this tomorrow. I like it. The freshman, again, I like him a lot, but that's a – you know, like Nick just said, the hump a little bit to get over. I think they get one, Matt. I think it's 2-1.
Here's the thing. If you told me that Oregon State was like 20th in strength of schedule – I could believe it, but to say that UCI because I messed that up in the previous show season. To say that they haven't beaten anybody, I mean, who has Oregon State beaten? They've lost to Auburn. They lost to Oklahoma. They lost to Minnesota. They lost to Cal Poly. Nebraska beat them in a series.
Cal Poly is good.
Virginia, that was their best win. UC Irvine, they lost to Vandy 9-8. Lost to USC in a home-and-home, I guess, is what they played. They beat them 12-9 in the second game. Long Beach, they won a series there. UC Santa Barbara, who was supposed to win this conference, they swept them.
Yeah, but that team, if you really look at, because I've been on Santa Barbara. I'll tell you, Santa Barbara's been a team that I've been kind of like screwing me in some money line parlays.
Well, quit betting them.
I got to.
You
terrible. Yeah, Nebraska 10-5. I mean, I can say they swept Louisiana.
That's their biggest one. That's their biggest one. I will say.
I think it's a step up. It's a step up because again, like I said, USC. I mean, Matt always likes USC. He's been talking about USC now for like 2 years. You know, he loves that one pitcher. Then you get Riverside, and then you get San Diego. So I mean.
Here's my thing. Okay, I think we're grasping at straws because I still think at the end of the day, I think Oregon State wins the series 2-1, but I think both these teams end up hosting at the end of the year. Because I think UC Irvine is just rolling through the Big West.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Cal Poly and Hawaii are the second and third teams. They get Hawaii at home. Cal Poly is, I think, overperforming a bit. So I think they end up rolling through the Big West. I think they end up hosting. Oregon State ends up hosting. So we're just we're just grasping at things. For no reason. Like, both these teams are very good. Like, very, very good.
Don't be talking negative about the Rainbow Warriors.
It's just,
they are fun.
They're fun when they're at home. If they are on the mainland, they are trash.
On the mainland.
Man, it sounds like we're talking football.
All right, we're going.
It's the same thing.
Yep. We're going to Alabama. And if Auburn is going to win this series, they have to win game one with Sam Dutton. I don't think they will win the series, but when I was going through the pick 'em, I like Sam Dutton. He's got better pitching stats than Zane Adams. Can the Tigers get it done against Alabama, who is, I mean, I don't know what Justin LeBron's wrist is going to be like this weekend.
Yeah.
It hobbled him a little bit last weekend, it seemed. He didn't hit 5 home runs like I feel like he did every other weekend. I don't know. I don't know yet about this Auburn team. I mean, sitting at 20-9, I want to believe that Auburn's back to being good. But then they go out. Who do they just lose to? They just lose a series? Oh, yeah, they got swept by Georgia.
They got swept by Georgia.
Yeah.
Lost game 1-4-1. So, I mean, that I feel like that's – if they're going to win game one with Dutton, that this is the kind of game that they need to have. But I could also see it very reminiscent of this Oklahoma-LSU game we saw tonight where Bama wins 2-0.
Yeah, it's possible. I do – like Zane Adams – yeah, Zane Adams has been awesome as well. But Sam Dutton, like Auburn needs this one. So, yeah, if they're going to win the series, like they have to win this one. The weird thing about Auburn this year is like everybody's like thinking of them as a very offensive team again, but the stats don't really show it. Like WRC play, I think they are like 11th right now in SEC in hitting, which like it seems like I don't know if it's just like we've seen a couple like series like early in the season that inflated everybody's thoughts about them, but their offense just hasn't been that. And we saw that against a Georgia pitching staff who we are all down on. Like, that Georgia pitching staff is not good, and they couldn't hit him. And now you're going to get Zane Adams, and then Riley Quick, who's coming off a blood blister, is back to starting on Saturday. And then you get Alcock on Sunday, who's been not great, but he's been solid. So it's like Alabama has the pitching advantage all 3 games, in my opinion.
Auburn like, did hit Georgia. I mean, they scored 14 runs over 3 games.
Okay, so they averaged 5 runs a game? Is that, like, great against Georgia?
No.
Okay.
Just but Auburn is 15th in the SEC in batting average.
15th. Okay. Oh, batting average. Yeah, I think it was like runs per game. I saw they were like 11th or 12th. But yeah, it's one of, and not just the pitching staff in general, is like Bama is better. And then where do we rank these offenses? I think we all agree that Bama's offense across the board is also the better one. So I'm afraid this series will tell me a lot about the SEC, because we have, it seems like we've been talking about like SEC can get maybe 12 or 14 teams in the postseason, but right now it's so freaking top heavy with what we have from like what Tennessee is doing, what Arkansas is doing, LSU, Texas, and Bama. It's like we have what, 4 teams that are 8-1, and I think Bama is 7-2 or 6-3, but then 2 of those losses are to Tennessee. So it's like it's extremely, extremely top heavy. So this is where we decide, like, hey, is there a middle ground in the SEC? Because if Auburn wins this, then like Bama kind of moves into that middle area. But if Bama wins this 2-1-3-0, then it's like, okay, they belong in that kind of talk where it's like this is a legitimate top 10 team with the Tennessee, Arkansas, like those teams.
Guess who's number one in batting average in the SEC? Just in SEC play.
Just in SEC play? Kentucky.
Arkansas.
Really? Okay.
Shocker.
I was thinking Kentucky just because of like they went nuts against Georgia and A&M.
Smitty, Alabama, Auburn, the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I had it 2-1. I think Bama gets them 2-1.
Every other matchup, you've got Riley Quick and Cade Fisher.
Very uneven.
Go back to that. -164 Bama.
They're going to win one. It will be worse than that in the books. Like that's going to be 225, 230.
Probably. What was that next one? Georgia Tech, Stanford. Georgia Tech quickly running up the top 8 teams that I've put out. Georgia Tech is creeping up in that. You buying into the Yellow Jackets and Drew Burris?
I'm buying more into the pitching staff. Like, that's the weird thing. It's like
if Mason Patel, Tate McKee.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're putting it together.
Yeah, their pitching staff's what's been – like, if they could have put, like, last year's offense with this year's pitching staff, like, would have been crazy. Now, they've been good, but, like, I think we mentioned this. We had them on our show last week because they were playing Clemson. And I mentioned Georgia Tech's schedule because I believe it was, what, Boston College, Pitt, and Notre Dame. And they were, and that's why they were 7-2 in conference. And then obviously Clemson beat them. Clemson's, we all think, agree, is a top 8 team in the country. So that's not a bad series loss. Now, Stanford, on the other hand, is who is this team?
Yeah.
Like,
great point.
You go to North Carolina, you win a series. Who was series two? They swept. Who'd they sweep at home? They swept Duke. At home. Duke. They swept Duke at home. They're 5-1 in ACC. Then they get swept by Cal at home. Then they go and they get swept again last weekend.
UVA, yeah.
Yeah, by Virginia. Yep. And it's like they went from like, hey, they might be a host to now it's like they might not make the tournament because I don't know who they are. And so I have – this is one of those where it's like, I will not bet a game. I can promise nobody's going to see any one of these 3 games on my card. Like, I don't care what the lines are or anything. I will not bet any of these 3 games because both of these teams are so unpredictable. Georgia Tech because of their schedule. Stanford because of how up and down they are. The only look would be like an over on like a Saturday or Sunday after you get past like McKee. And like, so it's, this is just such a weird series, but also very important to talk about because, like, this is going to mean a ton as to, like, these teams are probably going to end up around that, like, 6-8 range in the ACC, and that's probably around the amount of teams that the ACC gets in the NCAA tournament. So it's like this series win will come a long way for one of these 2 teams.
So what are you doing?
Nothing. That's literally what I'm saying. I'm doing nothing with
this. I will bet Georgia Tech up to minus 200.
This is not in the SEC pick'em. I don't have to tell you who I think is going to win this.
Joey Voltko.
Joey Voltko, I have loved, because they moved him from Sundays. Like I said this like week one, I think I mentioned to you guys, like Voltko is like my favorite arm Stanford has. Then moving him to Fridays is probably great, but I don't like him against Tate McKee because like he's been very, very good for Georgia Tech. So it's like, unless we get some like weird line tomorrow, like I don't think this ends up, I think this ends up more as like a pick 'em in the books. I think like our site might have Georgia Tech a bit inflated over Stanford, especially like traveling across the country. Like there's no way for us to have that in the website, like travel time included. I think this ends up being more of like a 125-105 in the books type game
towards be all over
towards Georgia Tech. I just can't touch it. Just me personally. I just can't do it.
Smitty.
Probably a no play on that. I think Nick, I'm kind of with Nick here. I think with the over sport
betting podcast.
Tell people I'm not going to give people a bad pick.
Pass. Listen, I think
I've been passing on all of them.
I think you got to go. If you like anything in this, I'd go the over because
that's
again,
what I said. I gave
Georgia
that
Tech.
Thing,
Georgia Tech can really hit the ball. I mean, they did lose. You know, only took one out of Clemson, but they put 18 up against Clemson. I think it was in game two. I mean, last week.
No, game one.
Was it game one? Okay.
Yeah.
Then Stanford last week.
Game two, UVA, they won 18-2.
18-2, yeah.
Oh, it was the first game of Saturday. That's right.
Saturday, doubleheader Saturday. Right. Yeah, but Stanford, 11 runs, 13 runs, 9 runs they gave up. So where's the pitching staff? And again, they have some bats. They have some pop. And listen, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to Q on the phone, and we both were saying this Stanford team – man, throw a little bit of money on them to maybe win the call. Because, man, they were raking the ball. Their pitching was okay. Yeah, what is this team? I'm not sure. I think this could be a very high-scoring series. I'd keep an eye on the overs in this.
2-6 in their last 8 for Stanford.
Yep.
6-2 in their last 8. Actually, 8-2 in their last 10 for Georgia Tech. I want to bet. Back the number one batting average team in the country, 19th in weighted runs created, and 11th in Sierra. I'm sorry.
That's the
last time I checked, pitching travels well. You're telling me across the country.
Hey, bet it, and I hope you win. I honestly do.
All right, last but not least, the rivalry is renewed. Arizona, Arizona State. Let's look at this one. It is Colin McKinney versus Ben Jacobs. Nick, you're on the Arizona bandwagon. What are your thoughts on this one?
Love, love, love this series. This is one of those where it's – this is going to be a tough call, too. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, this is going to be this one will honestly be number dependent. I can flat out say that. Like, this isn't going to be like, I think both teams are honestly identical. Like, so it's going to be like, this is going to be so like crazy to see what like our numbers say. Jeez, I hadn't even looked this up on our site, but that's kind of surprising. Arizona
hitting is comparable 115, 121. Yeah.
That's the surprising part, too, is, like, how Arizona State's pitching was supposed to be, like, we all said before the season, is like, the only way Arizona State wins is if they put up, like, 9-10 runs a game. And they haven't necessarily had to. Like, the pitching staff's been okay. Like, Ben Jacobs, we knew him. Like, we knew, like, hey, Fridays they'll be okay, and they can beat just about anybody. The rest of the rotation has been very good. The bullpen has been dominant. And it's been, like, just – not even just in Big 12 play, but also, like, in their midweeks. They've kept their midweek games low scoring. It's been very good. Arizona coming off who was my like winner to win the Big 12. I still think they do
lose the series at home to Baylor.
Yes. That's the weird one. I still think they win the Big 12. Like Baylor is good. Baylor's turned into like a tournament team, I think. But that's still not a series they should have lost. Arizona to me is still the team to beat, I think. I don't know. TCU's coming on weird, like lately, like getting Caden Parker back, because I know we're not talking about them today. Kansas State, that's a whole, that could take, I could talk about Kansas State for like 20 minutes on that. So I'll just stay away. But I actually really do like Arizona here. Game one, I don't know, because I actually do trust Ben Jacobs. So if like, if this is sort of, if this, this Friday game, if this, if we end up getting like a pick 'em type of thing,
which, it's out. Arizona's plus 124, Arizona State minus 160.
Oh, that's, oh, see, that's tough. 160, like if it was like 130, 135 ish, I think would be playable because I really do like Ben Jacobs. I don't know. Ah, man, that's why I did. I'm surprised this number is so high. Like, to be honest, because I actually do like Arizona State Friday, but I like Arizona Saturday, Sunday.
Smitty.
Yeah, I'm a little upset with Arizona because I took them a bunch last weekend.
Yeah, they cost me twice.
Yeah, and Baylor, I've taken Baylor throughout the year. So, good for Baylor. Fans out there. We were on Arizona State last year to score a lot of runs. They were doing it. I think this can be a fun series. I have no clue. I mean, I think this is two teams that could put up a lot of runs. Maybe, again, keep an eye on the overs in this. I think this could be a lot of action over the weekend here with these two teams. It could be a high scoring games.
All right. That wraps up the series previews, unless you guys have another series you want us to cover. Western Kentucky, Dallas Baptist, that was one that awesome. I was hoping that we would get a line for tonight to discuss, because this Hilltoppers team is pretty salty.
So good. Yeah.
Very good. Yep.
I don't have pitching matchups in front of me. Do one of y'all want to look that up?
I mean, I could – I mean, it should – I mean, I can tell you who it should be.
Western Kentucky is 10th in the country in weighted runs created. DBU is 23rd. They're 17th in Sierra. Western Kentucky is 30th for DBU.
What is that guy's name, Western Kentucky? Dallas Baptist will be starting Jenkins, I believe.
You literally have a computer in front of you.
Okay.
Look it up. I got it. Micah Bucknum versus Jack Bennett game one.
I heard something. I can't remember if it was the D1 guys that were talking about it or if it was 11.7 maybe. So Dallas Baptist hasn't lost a home series.
Dang. I was hoping it would be closer than that.
Dallas Baptist hasn't lost a home series, and I believe it was something crazy. Like, it was like just over 2 years. It was like February. It was like late February of like 23 was like their last home series loss, I believe, is what somebody was saying. So that's like, and I get it. Like, their schedule, like, and they've been like kind of flipping conferences, so like things change. But this is one where it's like DBU is still in like those hosting, like they're still in a spot to host. RPI is there, but it's like close. Western Kentucky needs this one. But I still think Western Kentucky, even without this, I think Conference USA gets two teams in. Now the question is
4 on the year. Heartbreaking loss to Vandy. Yeah. I was really hoping we'd get a line on that one.
I think we will. I believe. Just
no, I'm talking about the Western Kentucky Vanderbilt game.
Vanderbilt game, yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Oh my
god. Yeah, at Vandy, they lose 5-4. Oh, yeah. I would have been all over the Hilltoppers run line.
Yep.
Home. I looked it up too tonight. 23 games in a row at home. Fantastic home streak they have going, Western Kentucky.
Dude, that place is hard to play. I actually, so like between my time in Austin Peay and Evansville,
red field on baseball too.
No, it would be cool, but it's what it's so for some reason it's a weird place to play. So like as an infielder, It's like I said, I played them probably, I don't know, maybe like 15 times in my career between Austin Peay and Evansville. Their infield is hard. Like, it's like, it is like literally like brick solid hard. Like, it's, if you're not used to it, it's weird to play on. They're like, they have an all brick, it's also an all brick outfield wall, unless that's been changed. The ball like carries and flies where it's a weird place to play. Like, they kind of lull you to sleep with like the weird, like the bleachers and stuff are strange. So I get that. I just don't think they can beat DBU at DBU is a monster. And that's just, I just think it's just one of those where it's like, this is top tier NCAA team versus bubble NCAA team.
Kind of look at this game too. When I looked at this, like 47 runs last four games, Dallas Baptist pitching staff, like you said, Matt's really good, Western Kentucky. So it kind of goes again with that. Like, I'm not trying to compare this series with Georgia, Texas, but it's like really good offense to pretty good pitching staff. What's going to win here? It should be a fun series though. But I think, again, I think home field is just going to be key, like Nick said.
And 289th in strength of schedule doesn't really do any justice to the Hilltoppers. They've beaten up on a lot of bad teams. But all right, let's get into the SEC series pick 'em. But before we do, we want to remind you, go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use code INSIDERS10 to get 10% off all of your merch. And Chinook Cedary, the best damn seeds in the business. Also, INSIDERS10 for 10% off all of your orders. Nick, Ole Miss, Kentucky move to Friday doubleheader. I've always said that doubleheaders get weird. I feel like you're going to split. Hopefully Hunter Elliott wins game one, then Kentucky can win game two. I've got Ole Miss 2-1.
Yeah, I'm doing it again. I don't care. I'm probably going to get crap from it because Kentucky's going to end up winning the series, but I'm going to take Ole Miss 2-1. I don't know. Something seems weird that they didn't announce that Nick McKay's pitching. Like, I don't know if there's an injury, or I don't know, like, if it was because it was going to be on Thursday. But then I thought if it was, like, even if they didn't do that, they would have announced them to be, like, start the Friday game or Saturday game. So, something is up there. Like, I don't know if he throws this weekend. Like, and knowing Nick Mangione, he's such, like, a weird, like, guy. He might just not tell us anything. So, I don't know if he pitches at all, because I think they would have had him listed one of the days. So I will take Ole Miss, especially you mentioned Hunter Elliott. Hunter Elliott's going to win game one. So I think Ole Miss steals one of the last two as well.
Smitty?
Man, I took some heat. Took some heat. I'm back, people. I'm back, and I'm not trying to just turn. I'm not doing peer pressure here. Should have had the shirt on tonight.
Pandering.
Kentucky, everybody. I love you. Let's get back with them. I'm sorry, Jimmy Swagger. What did I post on there? I'm sorry. I have sinned. I am back. Kentucky 2-1.
I don't know who Q is on. Do you remember?
He had Kentucky, I believe. Kentucky, remember, like, 2-1? Yeah, because we were talking in our chat.
Right.
Because he was like, watch, now Ole Miss is going to win it, and I'm going to be able to go right back at those guys and say, like, see, I told you.
This is the one I'm probably going to regret now, but I was on LSU 2-1 before they won game one. The one I thought OU was going to get was game one. Didn't happen. Not looking good, but LSU 2-1.
Yeah, I'm the same. I know I texted you at LSU 2-1. That's just what I'm on. I think these two teams are very comparable. In my opinion, I do think Oklahoma, especially being at home, like we've mentioned this so many every week, it's hard to sweep on the road. So I think Oklahoma does take one of the last two.
Smitty.
2-1. I texted you the earlier today. I think Oklahoma gets one, like we said earlier in the show. 2-1 LSU.
And Q was on LSU 2-1.
Yeah.
All right, South Carolina, Mississippi State. I'll let you start, Nick. Oh, Ron, if you're in here, somebody send out an SOS for South Carolina baseball.
Two of the biggest fan bases in the country.
Paul Menary may have had his time pass him.
Okay, let me ask you this. Like, outside of I don't know how much of that series. So obviously I watched every inning of that Tennessee series. Was it just me or did he look like so uninterested in the dugout? He was just like, he was sitting back there going like, okay, we're just not as good. And he just like was letting the game just go on, like doing nothing. It was like such a weird thing. It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I'm 72 years old. What am I doing here? I was sitting on a beach 6 months ago and then decided to take this job because I'm an idiot. So I don't know. Give me State will win Friday and Sunday. So give me 2-1 Mississippi State. I think South Carolina wins.
State 2-1 written down in front of me. I don't know if they win one. Maybe against Carson Legone, but
no,
South Carolina's throwing TBA. So
he's underperformed.
I'll stick with it. Mississippi State 2-1.
Mississippi State going with a bullpen guy on Saturday.
I'm going to go. I think South Carolina gets one. I'm going to go 2-1 also.
Georgia, Texas. I'm going Texas 2-1.
Nice. See, you jumped to my side. You were against them last weekend. Gained me and Q some points. I will take Texas again 2-1. I don't trust this Georgia pitching staff right now. I trust the home field advantage of Texas. We saw them beat LSU at home, and I think LSU is better than Georgia. So give me Texas 2-1.
I'm right with you guys. 2-1 Texas.
Dang, Alabama, Auburn. Going Bama 2-1. And this is
Vandy, Florida.
Oh, Vandy, Florida. This is actually shocking.
Because this is the one
Florida wins their first SEC series. Florida 2-1.
This is the one I've been questioning the most, like, to be honest. Vandy's the better team right now.
They are.
Like, Vandy's flat out the better team right now. Which is crazy because they just got swept by Arkansas. And it's like they just squeaked by Western Kentucky, who we talked about is a good team. Florida right now, Cade Kirkland, who we haven't mentioned, is now out for the season for Florida. Just another kind of just blow. But does Sully really let them lose another home series? Like, it's Liam Peterson, I have to assume, is back. This is going to be Liam Peterson last weekend. He came back. He was not 100%. I think we all saw how he threw. It was like, I don't know if they rushed him back or was like, hey, we're struggling. We just have to have him throw. That wasn't him. I assume he'll be 100% now. Bad thing is he's facing JD Thompson in game one. So that's one where it's like, if Florida steals that one, that could mean a ton.
Do you sell out to win game one?
You have to. At this point for Florida, you have to sell out to win every game you're at. Because you have to get to, with 16 teams now, you have to get to 11 or 12 wins. And they're 1-8. And it's like, you have to sell out to win every game. I don't care what it is. You sell, so by sell out, though, it means, if you're tied or you're up by one.
You got to burn your bullpen arms and hope that your offense can generate runs. But I've never seen Kevin O'Sullivan look as defeated at this point. And you can compare them to Florida last year, who kind of barely got in as a barely above 500 team. This isn't that team. This season could really end up bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, last year he had 2 get out of jail free cards with Larry Cags and Neely. It was like, hey, let's let Neely carry us from the mound and let's let Cag just go freaking nuts on offense. They don't have that this year. There's nobody doing that this year for him. It's sellout to win every game. I'm going to trust Kevin O'Sullivan is still a top 5 coach in the sport. I don't think that's in question. I know he's had some weird kind of things happen in the last couple of years from game time, bullpen standpoints. I still think he's that good of a coach. Give me Florida 2-1. And this is going to be the same type of pick as when I took A&M last weekend 2-1 and said, hey, if you're going to show up, you're going to show up now. A&M didn't. So Florida, This is your, if you're going to eventually show up, you need to show up now.
I'm going to guess Q is going to be on Vandy 2-1.
Vandy, and he'll probably pick Vandy 3-0.
Vandy just, sweet.
It'll be like a, yeah.
Yeah. Smitty. 2-1. 2-1 Vandy. I think Florida's too.
Yeah. It's, I know. That's
probably the smarter pick. I mean, like,
I think they'll get one yeah. in this, but I think Vandy, I think, is just a better team right now.
Which one would you say they get? Like, do you think Liam Peterson beats JD tomorrow?
Or man, that's, yeah, that's going to be a good one. Man,
who's Florida throwing? Florida Saturday's throwing. Who are they?
Aiden King.
Okay, so that's probably the one they get. Okay, so I would say if they get only one, I would assume it's King.
It would probably be that one, but I mean, they could get tomorrow. I just think the team's so banged up.
They are, yeah.
That's why I'm just going to go with Vandy on that. I mean, I think Vandy right now is just a better team, and because of injury.
They are.
I think Florida, again, it's just been devastated this year with injury and stuff. So let's go Vandy, 2-1.
All right, next up, Alabama-Auburn. This is one I was trying to jump to because I was so excited to talk about it. Looking at the projections, looking at the stats, seeing the pictures, there's no doubt in my mind that if Auburn's going to win one, it's got to be Friday night. The problem is Zane Adams is pretty good too. It's probably going to be Bama sweep, but it's hard to sweep, especially on the road. Granted, it's across the state. Let's go Bama 2-1. Don't let me down, Sam Dutton.
Yeah. No, this is my 3-point jump here. This is the one I'm going for points. Give me Bama. Sweet.
2-1. 2-1 Bama. I have down.
And to hedge that, I'm gonna bet Alabama minus 135.
Which is
for all the money we've got on the line for this pick'em contest. All right, Texas A&M, Tennessee. I don't think Texas A&M has a shot in hell. Tennessee sweep.
I don't need to say much.
Tennessee sweep for Nick.
Yeah. I'll say it from this standpoint. Like, if there's going to be if an A&M team is going to wake up, it'll be against a team that just took the national championship away from you. Like we've talked all offseason and this season, like how many returners they have on the roster, they could be blaming Tennessee for like this entire like thing. Like they could be blaming like, hey, we're negative because we feel like we got that national championship stolen from us. We got beaten a 3-game series, so let's take all this bulletin board material, let's take everything we have, like all of our bad blood, and it's going to be turned into this weekend. That's the only shot A&M has. Now, Tennessee is already sold out Friday and Saturday, so it's like balls are going to make, like, and I know Tennessee fans extremely well, like being one of them, they are going to be giving A&M like the worst type of hell from the stands of like their current like record. And all this stuff, like, it's going to be ugly. But I think I will say if A&M, like, would I be shocked if this is the weekend A&M wakes up? No, but Tennessee should sweep because it's just, God, I mean, they're just on a roll right now.
Tennessee minus 330 tomorrow. Who would have ever thought Ryan Prager would be plus 240?
And he's not the problem.
Yeah.
He's fine. Their whole starting pitches, like, they didn't pitch well last weekend. Like, that was a weird Kentucky.
I got a hot take in this one, though. I feel like as good of all these pitchers have been, this is probably going to be a series where every game goes over. Assuming that the total's around 11.5.
I think we're
going to get into, like, 8-7s type games.
I'd almost say the opposite because, like, I can you trust it? Like, Tennessee is the best ERA in the country right now. So it's like, do you trust like this A&M offense to put up 7? Like, I don't. Like, right now, like, unless Jace LaViolette hits 3 home runs or Cade Sorrell, like, now that he's back, hits 2, that's kind of the problem. And it's like this, Or the problem is, like Q said in our chat, is when the A&M starting pitcher gets taken out and then Tennessee puts up 7 or 8 in like the 8th and 9th innings, or the 7th and 8th innings, because they probably won't be hitting in the bottom of the 9th. So it's like that would be the over chance there. This is going to be a hard series to project and pick. But yeah, these numbers, we're going to see these numbers in the books being huge, especially against Prager, considering this was also supposed to be, this was the series that everybody was like circled before the preseason. Like when schedules came out, everybody's like, holy crap, Texas A&M at Tennessee. This is going to be probably the number one, number two team in the country at the time. This is going to be awesome. And now it's like completely just flipped on its head.
Smitty.
Yeah, I'm done saying this is the weekend. So, I'm done. So I have it down. I have a sweep 3-0 Tennessee.
The 12th man has fallen. Smitty, nail in the coffin for Texas A&M. Last but not least, Missouri, Arkansas. Probably all in unison here. Arkansas.
That's every week.
The only time that I will pick Arkansas to sweep is against Missouri.
Dude, freaking relegate them already. Good God. They've actually performed.
They're not even throwing Ian Loesch. He's not on this list.
He got hurt last weekend.
Caden Jacoby in his 8.53 ERA, then Brody Kellenbrink with his 7.82 ERA.
Good Jesus.
Going off against a pissed off Zach Root, getting back to form Gabe Yackel, and then Landon Bottlesheese, who hopefully we're down Parker Coyle, still out Gage Wood, but I mean, this pitching staff for Arkansas is deep. I don't think Missouri is going to be able to produce enough runs to even make this competitive.
No. Their offense has been okay. Like, the surprising thing is they've actually kept games close, whether it was LSU, Ole Miss. They've been okay. To make this interesting, just so Matt, just to make this conversation interesting, since we have something to talk about for Mizzou, Arkansas. Gage Woods projected back next weekend. Does he immediately go back into the rotation and you move Gackle back to the bullpen, or do you think they'll give time?
No, it would be Bottlesheese giving up that Sunday starting role.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, they were Gage was the game 3 starter.
Yeah, but that's also because that's also when they felt like Gackle was going to be like a legitimate starter, who he hasn't. Like, at least in my opinion. I think that he's better off like being like a two, like I would compare him to.
Look at that.
It's like do a 2-3. He'd be like a 2-3 inning guy, like out of the bullpen. For me, it's like where, like you could do, like imagine being able to use Gabe guy, like imagine being able to use guy called like Friday and Sunday.
Yeah. I think we're better having him as the game 2 guy right now.
Gotcha. Because he's like Nate. It's like Nate Snead to me. It's like, could Nate Snead start for Tennessee? 1,000%. But it's like, would we rather have Nate Snead available on Friday for 2 innings and then Sunday for 3 innings? If necessary, yes. And that's how I feel about Gackle. Considering,
I know, like, I said with Florida State, it's like an embarrassment of riches. We've got Aiden Jimenez, who's coming out of the pen, can throw twice a weekend. He's got one of the lowest Sierras on the team. He's got the best strikeout rate compared to walk rate. I mean, he was a starter at Oregon State, and he's happy coming out giving you 3 or 4 middle relief innings on Friday and Sunday. I mean, right now, I think you ease Gage back into it. Gage was our closer last year. Gabe Yackel was our closer.
He was kind of like set up slash
closer. Also, we saw Hagan Smith do this. I mean, his freshman year, he struggled as a starter. Dave put him in the pen, came out, settled down. He's the reason why we went so deep into the College World Series the year before ultimately losing to Ole Miss. So I don't think there's anything just completely off the table. But if Gage Wood is 100%, I think he's your game 3 starter, and you start seeing Bottlesheese and Aiden Jimenez trade off as that long middle reliever. And the good thing is both of these kids are – they're just for the team mentality.
Yeah.
They don't care how many innings. They don't care if they're a starter, bullpen, middle reliever, closer, whatever. They just want to get out there and throw strikes.
So, yeah, I mean, they're getting like, yeah, they're not like it's, they're not like being questioned on, they need like a draft spot or like they're getting drafted. Yeah. Like they will be very high draft picks. They don't care about, yeah, they should not be caring about innings or anything like that, because they both know it's like, hey, at this point we know where we're going. So it's like, let's just kind of do it. Same with Nate Snead. It's like Nate Snead starting doesn't improve his like MLB draft status, because he's not going to be a starter in the MLB. Like, nobody's going to draft him as a starter. So it's like, it's the same thing like with, like you said, with like probably three or four of Arkansas's guys.
The one guy I did want to see step up and be the guy was Zach Root. And I feel like over the last two starts, he has been.
Yes. Let's see it. It okay. Offensive, like, yes. The teams have been different. This Missouri's not going to tell us anything either. So let's move forward. Because I'm still very questionable about Zach Root personally, but that's just me personally. Like, I don't think his metrics are fantastic. Like, especially when you look at like his spin rate and all that stuff, is not like, it's not very good. And he's not really missing bats that well, which if you're not missing bats in the SEC, it can turn into like what we saw from like what Ole Miss did to him. Whereas like, if you don't miss bats, like those can turn into home runs, and they can turn into 6-7 runs very quickly. So that's kind of my issue. Like Vandy, we've said it. We don't trust the Vandy offense. It's kind of one of those things. Missouri's not going to tell us much this weekend either. So let's see moving forward. Cause I'm still very, I freaking love Vital Sheets, to be honest. Like he's probably the last one I would want out. But Zach Root's going to be a weekend guy just because he's proven it, but I don't know. It's questionable.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. We'll see if we can dethrone Q, as we've been doing this now 3 weeks and nobody's had the crown for consensus weeks yet. Will that change? We'll see come Monday. Hopefully we can get back to our normal recap show early in the week. It's been a little hectic, but thank you all for tuning in. We will see you next week. Cash some tickets this weekend. And if you're not a Clubhouse member yet, go join. We'll make you your money back. For Q, Nick, Smitty, and myself, cheers, guys. Have a great weekend.